grab your Bibles this morning and turn to Proverbs chapter 29. As we continue to look at the topic, Nuggets of Wisdom, as seen in the book of Proverbs. When you go to a doctor and have tests run, you fear what the outcome will be. Usually if you have to have any kind of test run at the doctor, you're like petrified of what the results are going to be. Is my sugar going to be high? Is this going to be high? What's this going to be? Some of us go to worst case scenarios. I don't know if anybody else has this problem, but like if my leg starts hurting, I instantly think I got a blood clot. And probably just slept on it wrong. But sometimes, and whatever you do when you're hurting, don't go to Google. Because next thing you know, you're dying. But we have this tendency to fear the results. And then when we come back for the results, we fear what the doctor's going to say. And then when the doctor gives us the news, we still fear the results that we're given. This fear also plays out in our daily lives. We fear what others think about us. We fear what others are going to say. We fear what others may do. We fear what they can do to us. Before I got my anxiety under control, I was so afraid of man, so afraid of losing job, so afraid of not being able to provide for or take care of my family, paranoid, you name it. And sometimes we can allow our fear of man to determine how we live our lives. As we continue to look at Nuggets of Wisdom, today we will look at our need to not fear man, but to trust in the Lord. We cannot let the fear of man dictate what God has called us to do, who God has called us to be, and how God has called us to live for Him. Proverbs chapter 29, beginning with verse 25, the Word of God reads, "The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Many seek the ruler's favor, but justice for man comes from the Lord. An unjust man is an abomination to the righteous, and he who is upright in the way is an abomination to the wicked." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the beauty of your word. We thank you for who you are. Lord, we're thankful that we're able to come and hear your word and just grow in our walk with you. And I pray that you would bless us and encourage us and challenge us from your word. It's in the beautiful name of Jesus we ask and pray. Amen. So the first thing that we see in our text is we see this need to fear the Lord instead of fearing man. It says, "The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe." When we look at our lives, how much stock do you and I put in what people think about us? Now, how easy is it for you and I to be concerned about what so-and-so thinks about us? No, sometimes we even lose sleep over what we think someone might think about us. We can spend our time trying to keep those around us happy. We don't know what to say, or we don't want to say anything that could hurt someone's feeling or cause them to leave. You know, there are times when we're walking on eggshells because we're afraid. We don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Did you know that working hard to please people can be exhausting? It is. If you've ever tried to please people, it's exhausting. No matter how hard we try, we can't please everybody. Not even Jesus was able to do this. When you read through the Gospels, you see many people who were not pleased with Jesus and the message that he was preaching. Even so, he was faithful to the message he was sent to preach, no matter what the consequences would be. As we look at the life of Jesus, even though man stood against him, even though man attacked him, he never feared man, but he always trusted in the Lord. You know, the same is true for you and I. We need to not fear man, but trust the Lord. As we look at the text, the word that's used here for fear is not the same word we usually look at. Often, when we talk about fear in Scripture, the Hebrew word that's used talks about this holy, reverential fear of God, to stand in awe. When the Bible says to fear the Lord, it's this stand in awe of the Lord. It's this awesome respect of the Lord. It's this incredible, beautiful, wow, God, you're awesome. The Hebrew word that's used here for fear is not that word. The word that's used here means tremble, fear, or anxiety. So it's a completely different, it's showing that we are not to be scared of man. We're not to let man give us anxiety, which the majority of anxiety that people deal with are a result of man. And I can say that because I've spent the last 2.5 years researching the topic for my dissertation. And the number one issue, the number one factor leading to anxiety in most people's lives is another person. And so instead of fearing man, instead of being anxious with what man can do to us, we are to trust in the Lord. And so as we look at this, it says a man, it says the fear of man brings a snare. Now, a snare, we know, is a cage used to catch something. It's a trap. You lure somebody into the snare, you lure them into the trap, and then when they get in it, you got them. That's what the fear of man does to the people of God. It catches us in a trap. When we are afraid of man, it becomes a snare. We can be caught in the trap when trying to please man. Because when we try to please men, what happens? Then we got somebody else to please and somebody else to please. And before you know it, you no longer remember who you are. If you try to be who everybody wants you to be, you will never be who God called you to be. And when we fear man, we spend our time trying to be what people want us to be instead of who God has called us to be. Today in our world, we continue to fear what man can do. Christians do not speak up for what is right out of fear of what others may think or say. Pastors do not always speak the truth out of fear of losing their jobs. It's easy for us to try to please man to keep the peace, but by doing that, we may be standing against God and what He has called us to do. What if our attempt to please man is displeasing God? What if our attempt to keep everybody around us happy makes God sad? Because we are compromising who God has called us to be. We can make bad decisions when our focus is on pleasing man over pleasing God. And when our focus is on pleasing man or the fear of man, we can even hinder the work of God. We have to reach a point where we decide, am I going to please people or am I going to please the Lord? Peter made his choice in Acts 5:29 where he says, we must obey God rather than man. If we are not careful, we can let other people control our lives and make our decisions for us. How many times have you and I made decisions based on what someone else said? How many times have we felt in our heart the right thing to do? We felt what God was wanting us to do, and we let someone else discourage us and sway us. Because I'm here to tell you, no matter what God calls us to do, no matter what we are called to be, somebody is going to say something negative about it. No matter what ministry we do here at Hopewell First Baptist Church, no matter what ministry we start, no matter what we try to do for the community, no matter what we try to do for our members, somebody always says something negative. Every time. There's always at least one, usually a couple more. You know, we all know people that have the spiritual gift of complaining. Because it doesn't, again, no matter what you do, they'll find something to complain about. Oh boy. If it's not, the ice part's not in yet, it's the trash didn't get changed in time, or this isn't there, or that's not there, or why wasn't this done, or why isn't this being done? It's always something. And my philosophy is, you think the trash needs changed, change it. Amen. You know, instead of complaining, do something about it. Fix the problem. But imagine if we spent as much time praying as we spent complaining. fun question. And I'm guilty of it too, so this is on me too. All of us that have complained about the ice machine not being fixed yet, have we prayed about it? Have we prayed that God would make it go faster, that we'd get the part in, or do we just spend our time complaining about it? Something, and I'm guilty of it too, because I've not prayed about it, honestly. I should have.
Right.
I've been like, what's going on? Why haven't we got this part? It's been forever. But instead, I should be praying about it. And I'm guilty of it. And so often, we get, if we're not careful, we let other people decide. Well, man, we should do this. Well, okay, we're not going to do it. Someone will discourage us. And then it just gets pushed to the side. We are not to seek man's approval, but we're to seek the approval of God. We are to follow after the Lord and what He calls us to, instead of trying to please or fear man. Instead of fearing man, we are to trust the Lord. It says, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. That word trust means to be confident in. So in Yahweh, in the Creator God of Israel, notice that Lord is in all caps there, which shows us that it's the covenant name for God, Yahweh. So whoever is confident in Yahweh shall be safe. That word safe means to set on high. It means to be inaccessible. You know, when you got something in your house that you don't want your wife to get, you put it on a high shelf because she's short. When we think about this word safe, it's to put up on high where it's out of reach. And so when we put our confidence in the one true God of Israel, we are placed out of reach of everyone else. That's what that verse is saying. When we look at it. So when we put our trust, when we put our confidence in God, the world can't touch us. Man can't reach us. When we trust God, we are placed so high that no one can reach us, showing us that God protects us. When we seek to please God, when we put our trust in God, we are safe. The world may stand against us. We may lose friends. And sometimes we might even lose fellow church people, and they might be upset with us. Even so, our goal should be to follow after God and seek to please Him with our lives. Our goal should be to trust in the Lord. Romans 8:31 says, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? We are to put our stock in who God is and what He has called us to do, instead of fearing man and what they may think or what they may say. What is crazy, I just got to confess, what is crazy is I let this happen this week to me. The situation arose where I had an opportunity to trust the Lord or fear man, and I chose to fear man. And I acted out of that fear of man and said things out of fear of man instead of trusting in God. And how often do we do that in our lives? You know, how often do we fear what someone can do or what someone can say instead of taking our stand on what God has called us to do and what God has called us to be? One commentary says this: the solution is to trust in the Lord, recognizing that human power and opinion are inconsequential in comparison to the Lord. Human power and opinion are inconsequential in comparison to the Lord. Again, we need to trust the Lord. We need to seek the Lord. What should matter to us is what God has called us to be and what He has called us to do. Our fear or standing in awe should be of Him. And it should be greater than our fear, trembling, or anxiety of man. My fear of God should always be stronger than my fear of man. Because when my fear of God is where it needs to be, then and only then are we boldly able to proclaim the truth of the gospel. Then are we boldly able to take a stand for Jesus Christ and what He has called us to be. Then are we boldly able to trust the Holy Spirit speaking to our hearts. But when we fear man, we fall. I think of the beautiful story of Peter when he walked on water. When he respected the Lord, when he stood in awe of Jesus, when he had that holy fear of Jesus, he stepped out of the boat and walked across water. But as soon as he began to fear the storm, he sank. How many times do you and I sink because we fear men more than we fear God? Matthew 10:28 says, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell." God is in control of our lives, and so we need to trust Him and fear Him and not the things of this world. And here's the crazy thing. Man does not hold our future. God does. But often we're more scared of man, who can't do anything to us apart from God, than we are of God, who holds our eternal future, our very soul, in His hand. Yes. And how often are we more concerned about keeping the people around us happy than we are about doing what God has called us to do? God is in control, so we need to fear the Lord. The second thing that we see in the text is we need to seek the Lord. As the proverb says, many seek the ruler's favor, or seek the ruler's face. The literal word used there is face. But justice for man comes from the Lord. So as we think about this, do we seek the favor or the approval of the leader? When it comes to the fear of man, how often do we try to butter up to the boss? How often do we try to make friends with the boss or get on the good side of the boss? We go out of our way to get to know certain people to try to advance ourselves. At times we like to do a name drop. Oh, I know so and so. We believe if we make friends with the leader, then things will be easier for us. So we seek the favor of the leader and at times work hard to please the leader. The NET Bible says this about this proverb. It says, the idiom, seek the face, means to try to obtain favor from someone. According to the proverb, many people assume that true justice depends on their disposition of some earthly ruler. We often feel that if we seek the favor of the leader, then the leader will side with us over someone else. If I can get the leader on my side, then they're going to do what I want. Often we put our trust in people and even the systems that we have in place over the Lord. And it's not a bad thing to trust people. It's not a bad thing to trust system. But the problem comes when we put more stock in the system or people than we do the Lord. People and systems can be helpful if they're following after the Lord. Amen. The problem, though, is that man's justice will never be perfect. You guys may not know this morning. I might be dropping some new information on you. But did you know that our court systems get it wrong? Did you know that sometimes innocent people get put away? And did you know that sometimes guilty people go free? So this might be new for some of you, but our systems put in place, our leaders that are put in place, are human and therefore they get it wrong. Another thing is, how often has the system been perverted by money or power? Continuously. Yeah. How often have certain people got away with things that they should not have gotten away with because of what their name was? So what we're saying is our human leaders are not perfect. They make mistakes. Sometimes they make mistakes on purpose because of the gain that comes for them. Sometimes they make mistakes unintentionally. But every single human leader is flawed. God is not. God's system is complete and total perfect justice. Human rulers can get it wrong. God will not. Human justice can be perverted. God's justice cannot. Instead of seeking the favor of those around us, we need to seek the favor of the Lord. We are to come into His presence and find hope, peace, and justice from Him. True justice comes from God and God alone. We can see how justice has been tainted in our world. Just look around us. We can see how justice has been tainted. Some of us don't even believe in justice anymore. We can also know that a day is coming when Jesus Christ will return. When Jesus Christ will come to this earth. When Jesus Christ will set up His perfect rule and reign. And justice will rule supreme. We know a day is coming when perfect righteousness will rule and reign. All people will stand before Jesus someday and have to give an account for their lives they have lived on this earth. Every single one of us will stand before God and have to give an account for what we have done on this earth. It is God whose favor we need to seek. Not the ruler, not the leader. We need to seek the face of God. We need to seek the favor of God. We need to seek the justice of God. We are to do what is right in His eyes and not our eyes. We are to seek to live for Him. We are to seek to please Him. We are to seek to have a great relationship with Him. After all, He is the one that holds the future in our hands. God is the God of justice, and we are to seek Him and His favor instead of the favor of men. And then the last thing that we see in the text is we need to stand for the Lord. We need to fear the Lord. We need to seek the Lord, and we need to stand for the Lord. Verse 27 says, "An unjust man is an abomination to the righteous, and he who is upright in the way is an abomination to the wicked." This last verse is a verse that should make a lot of sense to us. The world does not like what we do. And we don't like what they do. That shouldn't come as a shock to us. As followers of Christ, we should not like the things of the world. As the world doesn't like us. And this is a good thing. Because we should not have much in common with the world. We should look different. When people look at us, we should look different than the rest of the world. You should be able to look at me and know there's something different about me. I love the passage where it says, always be ready to give a defense for the hope that is in you, showing that people should be asking us about the hope that's in us. We should be living our lives in such a way that people are coming up to us and saying, "What's wrong with you?" And we can look at them and say, "Jesus." Amen. So we should look different. We should act differently. And we should not act like the rest of the world. We should not do the things of the different of the world. We should talk differently. The way we speak should be different. The vocabulary that we use should be different. The way that we talk to one another should be different. We should have different priorities in our lives. What was once a priority to us before Jesus should no longer be a priority. It makes sense that we see each other's ways as detestable. We cannot expect the lost to act saved. They're lost. And their ways should bother us when they go against the world. The things of the world should bother us. Homosexuality should bother us. Abortion should bother us. People constantly using foul language should bother us. Alcoholics going out and getting drunk, that should bother us. These are things that should tug at our heartstrings. People going around killing each other. People going around fighting amongst themselves. This should bother us. We should find it detestable because it goes against the Word. Just like the way we act bothers them. They think we're crazy. They think we follow an outdated religion. Sadly, in many ways, we have desensitized ourselves to sin and we look like the world. I might step on a few toes this morning, but that's okay. Sometimes we look like the world in what we watch. How many Bible-believing Christians have no problem watching a movie or a TV show that uses the F word every other second and sees no problem with it? I don't know how many Christians I heard years ago praising Game of Thrones. It's pornography, it's foul language, and it's murder. How often does what we watch look like the rest of the world? What about the music that we listen to? What type of music do we listen to? Does it glorify and edify God, or does it tear down man? We look like the world in how we treat other people. Statistics show that Christians get divorced just as fast as non-Christians. Christians sometimes are some of the meanest people in the world in the way they treat people. I'm not sure if I should share this or not, but I'm going to because it goes along with the sermon. Interviewing pastors for my dissertation. Question: what church-related factors led to your anxiety? The number one response from the pastors, over 60% of the pastors interviewed said the number one source of their anxiety was church people and the way they treat them. Whether it was attacking their spouse, whether it was attacking their children, the number one source of anxiety for pastors is the way they're treated by church people. Wow. And the church is supposed to be a safe spot. It's supposed to be a safe haven where we can come in and grow in our walk with Christ. But how often do church people look like the rest of the world in the way we treat each other? How often do church people hold a grudge instead of forgive? How often do church people gossip about other church people? How often do church people tear down other church people instead of building them up? How often do we look like the rest of the world? We shouldn't look like the world. We shouldn't act like the world. We shouldn't be like the world. The things of the world should be appalling to us. The things of the world should be detestable to us. The people of God should be different. As we look at this, we need to understand that we find the ways of the world appalling, not the people of the world. There's a difference. We need to understand there's a need to love the sinner, not the sin. We are to hate what they do, not who they are. No matter who comes in these doors, we should love them. Amen. Regardless of what they believe, regardless of what they think, as the people of God, we are called to love them. We can disagree with the lifestyle they live. We can disagree with what they're doing. And we can find their actions appalling, but we gotta love them. Amen. Amen. And point them to Jesus. Even though they are living a life we disagree with, we are still commanded by the Word of God to love and seek to lead them into the light of Jesus. What if God uses us to turn their life around and introduce them to Jesus? We are to follow what the Lord says is right. As the people of God, we are to do what is right. We are to live righteous lives and trust God to protect us and provide for us. We must take our stand in who Christ is and what He has done. We do not seek to please people. We do not seek the favor of people. We do not live and act like the unrighteous. We are to be like Jesus. We are to seek to please Him and live for Him over trying to keep the people around us happy. A simple phrase, a simple sentence. You don't take anything else from the message this morning. Hear this. Trust the Lord and don't worry about the rest. Trust the Lord and don't worry about the rest. That's hard, but that's what the Bible teaches. We need to live righteous lives. The world will not like us for it, just as we don't like how they live. The way we live shows the world who our master is. The way you and I live our lives shows the world who our master is. Is God our master, or is sports? Do we spend more time on sports than we do God? Do we spend more time on sports than we do in the Bible? Do we spend more time with sports than we do church? Do we spend more time watching our shows than the Bible? Do we spend more time with our shows than church? Do we spend more time on Facebook than we do reading our Bible? Do we spend more time on Facebook than we do in church? Yeah. We were talking about in Sunday school how we were made to worship somebody, and how when I was in Wisconsin, I would notice when it's negative 12 degrees outside, there's these knuckleheads at Lambeau Field with their shirts off, with their chest painted green and gold, yelling for the Packers. It's negative 12 degrees on snow and they don't even have a shirt on. But how many of y'all won't come to church if it's raining? You'll go to Walmart. You'll go to work. I don't know how many times I've been texted on a Sunday night or a Wednesday night, "Are we having church tonight? It's raining." Yeah? I mean, if there's a tornado or a hurricane coming through, that's a different story. If it's raining, we ain't canceling church for rain. The way we live shows the world who our master is. When people look at us, what do they see? Do they see someone who does whatever they can to get ahead and seek the ruler's favor? Do they see a person sold out to Jesus living a life of righteousness? Do they see a person who trusts the Lord and does not worry about how man sees them? What are our lives showing the world around us? Who do we fear more, God or man? What is God saying to us today? Do we fear the Lord? Do we seek the Lord? Do we stand for the Lord? The first step in seeking the Lord is to surrender our hearts and our lives to Jesus Christ. The Bible is very clear that the only way to heaven is through the precious blood of Jesus shed on the cross. And sadly, there's people here today that probably don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. They've never made that decision to say yes to Him. And if they were to die right now, they'd spend an eternity in a place called hell. That may sound harsh, but that's the truth of Scripture. I love you too much to lie to you. If you die apart from a relationship with Jesus, you will spend an eternity in a horrible place called hell. But you do not have to. You can come to know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. You can seek the favor of the Lord. You can come before Him and say, "Lord Jesus, save me." If you've never made that decision to give your life to Christ, I want to invite you to do that today. Maybe you're here today and you've been fearing man over God. I want to invite you, just come and pray that God would help you to trust in Him and to take a stand for Him. Whatever the Spirit is saying to you today, will you come as we have our time of invitation? Lord, we do just thank you for this day. We thank you for this passage. And Lord, this passage convicted me a lot this week because there are many times when I have let my fear get in the way of my relationship with you, and I ask for forgiveness. Lord, there's times when I don't look like the world. I mean, I don't look like you. I look like the world. There are times when I don't seek you. I don't trust you like I should. And there are times when I don't act in righteousness. Forgive me, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would seek each and every one of our hearts. I pray that you would help us to see the beauty of your word and the truth that is there. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just speak to us today. It's in the beautiful, wonderful name of Jesus we ask and pray. Amen.